Hey guys, and welcome back to the Girl on Fire podcast. My name is Tanya Minocha, and alongside me, we have Rachel Georgian. We are the founders of Youth Executive Leadership Program, or YELP, and we are extremely excited to interview Erin Flynn, the CEO of a startup called Cladwell. We're going to be asking her some questions on her work in the startup and fashion industry, so we hope you all enjoy that, and let's get started. So today we will be interviewing Erin Flynn. Erin is the co-founder and CEO of Cladwell. She's led Cladwell's growth over the last 4 years and most recently acquired Cladwell with her husband to turn it into an independently owned company. She has gone through top accelerators like 500 Startups and is currently part of Indie.VC's latest investment. She previously founded an influencer marketing startup called Canopy and has also led the launch of E.W. Script's first national digital subscription service. She is determined to use her knowledge to educate others to get involved in entrepreneurship. We are super excited to have her on the podcast today, and we can't wait for you all to hear about the amazing work that she has done. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey, Erin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We're super excited to obviously have you on the podcast today. So let's kind of just dive right in with the questions. Firstly, I guess, how did you start Cladwell?
That's a great question. There's a long, complicated story behind it, but I will go into kind of my take. So it started really with my own personal problem. So I started my career out as a fashion blogger and ended up kind of collecting a huge amount of clothes. I was completely unconscious of it. But I would wake up every morning and I would go to my closet and I would say the exact same thing, which is I have too many clothes and nothing to wear, which was ridiculous because I had over 450 items in my closet. And so I really changed my entire mindset of how I thought about style and my closet after learning about this approach called the capsule wardrobe. And a capsule wardrobe is really it's a collection of clothes that you love and wear for this season. And so it's really hard to have a very large closet when you love and wear everything for a season because you can only have so many items. And so when I was introduced to this concept and kind of went through it myself, I did the whole closet clean out and, you know, figured out what my color palette would be for the season and on, it changed not only how I thought about, again, my closet, but how easy it was to get dressed every morning. And so we really wanted to give that to other people. And that's kind of how Cladwell came about.
So were there any struggles that you faced as a woman entrepreneur? And if so, how were you able to overcome them?
Yeah, so there's a lot. I would say the biggest struggle overall, this is my second startup. So my first startup, I really struggled to raise money. And this is no secret in the tech space when it comes to women entrepreneurs that it's oftentimes harder for women to raise money. And one story that I'll kind of share is I specifically remember we were in a pitch talking to an investor. And it was me, my other co-founder, and my husband. And both my other co-founder was actually my sister-in-law. And then my husband was the third co-founder. However, after this pitch, when I kind of shared our vision and what we were trying to do, he specifically, and my sister-in-law also spoke up. He specifically looked to my husband. And really only wanted to hear from him. And that became kind of a consistent theme when we were trying to raise money for our first startup, which was obviously mm-hmm. disheartening because I was trying to, sell the vision and felt like I had all the authority, if not more authority in the space to be able to tell them about it. But they didn't really want to hear from me. So, I think I learned that was eye-opening for me because I just didn't think that existed. Like I think I was just, you know, naive and didn't really know. I figured I would be treated the same, and that's kind of how I grew up. So I just didn't know any different. So when I was faced with this, it kind of changed my entire perspective. But I think if you're going, the thing that you don't want to, you don't want to let it discourage you so much that it scares you to be an entrepreneur. I think you just know that there's going to be challenges, and there probably is with a lot of different pieces, and that you may have to work twice as hard. And is it fair? 100%. It's not fair. Like, it's not fair at all. But if you know it going in, then you can at least be strategic about it. So you may have to pitch, you know, twice the amount of investors that, you know, a male counterpart would, but it is possible to still raise money. And I would say from that was about 7 years ago, the landscape has changed dramatically. I would say it's still extremely hard for women to raise money. That said, there's more and more investors and investment firms that are popping up that are really focused on helping white women and minority-owned business owners raise money and at least get exposure to the right people. So I think it's just a matter of kind of being strategic about it and going after it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's definitely interesting for our listeners. And my next question is a little bit more different, but how are you able to effectively handle and work with a team?
So humans are complicated beings, and I find that the best way to handle a team is really to set a clear vision that you can get alignment on. Because if everyone is aligned on the vision and believes in the values, or you have some sort of kind of value, moral code that you're living by within your company, those are things that you can get alignment on day one, the moment you hire someone. You can actually get alignment on that before you hire someone to make sure they're on the same page. And then from there, it's really about setting clear expectations so that people know what they, or, you know what they should expect, as well as treating people like people. I think we often forget if you get in, whether it's a startup or a corporation, sometimes we just forget that people are just regular people with, you know, the same problems that you and I have. And it's really important to treat them like you would want to be treated in that situation or any situation. And that makes everything less complicated. Because I think sometimes you can get in your head about like, oh, what should I do if I'm going to fire this person? Like, you know, I have to do it this way because this book said that. And it's like, just have some empathy and put yourself in their shoes, and that can make difficult conversations much easier.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a really great way of thinking about it. So where do you see yourself, as well as Cladwell, in the next 5 years? What will you be doing and achieving?
Oh my goodness, if I could predict that, I would be a millionaire. I have learned not to predict that. So I honestly, if I've learned anything from my past, it's that I don't know what I will be doing in 5 years. And I know better than to plan 5 years ahead. So I typically look, you know, 12 to 18 months is kind of how I plan for the business of like, hey, what do we want to accomplish in the next 12 to 18 months? And for myself personally as well, from there, I really just kind of keep my eyes open and make sure that I feel like I'm doing the right thing for this time. And I think that we've all kind of seen this happen in the pandemic, which is it's tricky to make a plan and act as if you're going to achieve it when the world is crazy. So for me, where do I see myself in 5 years is, I mean, I can tell you what I hope, which is I really hope that Cladwell helps drive a new era of fashion where people, you know, wear their clothes longer, buy less, and that it's popular culture to have a smaller wardrobe or have a capsule wardrobe, and which, by the way, is like the most sustainable way to manage your clothes. So I think if we do those things, if Cladwell can be part of that, that is the ultimate goal. Beyond that, I have no idea.
What has been the most rewarding part of building your own business rather than working for an existing corporation?
So corporations are machines, and you can be part of the machine. You can even tweak the machine, but at the end of the day, it's still a machine. So creating your own business affords you the opportunity to create your own machine. And the part that has been so rewarding for me is that as an entrepreneur, you get to decide the framework and the rules of your business. You get to set it up in a way that you feel best serves both your employees and also the people that are buying your product or service or whatever it may be. And so for me, that has definitely been the most rewarding part, is being able to set up that framework in a way that I feel is best based off of my experiences and the team itself. And so, yeah, for people who are kind of debating which way to go, I would say really, I think, ask yourself kind of, because there's a lot of people who would do great in a corporation. And so it's not necessarily one is right or wrong. I will say that. And I think if you're thinking about it, just ask yourself kind of what part you would function best in, or what role you would function best in. And some people, if, you know, leading a company would be incredibly stressful for them and like not fit well with their personality at all. And I think you have to be real with yourself, on that. So yeah.
All right. So the last question that I have is, what advice would you give to students who are interested in going into a profession where there's a large amount of customer interaction, such as working for a startup?
Yeah, I think it's learning as much as you can about who you're serving. So when it comes to startups, like you said, you're going to have a huge amount of interaction both with the people you serve, potentially investors. Sometimes in marketplace businesses, there's two sides of customers that you're trying to serve. So I think to be successful at that, and any advice that I would give around that is really dig deep, not just on like demographics, but on the psychographics. Like really find what is the motivating factors behind your customers and what drives them to do the things that they do and where they're hanging out on the weekend. And that kind of sounds stalkerish, but it's really trying to get in their head and figure out why would they use the thing that you're offering. And then also similar, if you're raising money, think about, put yourself in the investor shoes. What are they trying to get out of your business? Or what's in it for them? And a lot of time that's, you know, they're just working for an investment firm. So they just want to have the highest return, and money is certainly a portion of it. But also they may be motivated by things like, you know, I see myself in this person and I believe in this group or the interest that your startup is in. So whether it's investors or the customer itself, it's just really figuring out who the target is, what they do, how they think, and empathizing with that and then executing based off that.
All right. Well, sadly, that is the last of the questions that we have today. Thank you so much, Erin, for coming onto the podcast. It was definitely so inspiring for us to hear your story, and I know it will definitely inspire everyone who's listening in as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And thank you, everyone, obviously, for listening to the Girl on Fire podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.youthexecutivelead.org or follow us on Instagram at Youth Executive Leadership. And definitely check out Cladwell at Cladwell App on Instagram. Their website is cladwell.com, or you can download their app on the App Store. We will be releasing our next podcast in the next couple of weeks, so we hope you all listen in on that one. Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you.